Mark chapter number 15 in your Bibles tonight. Mark chapter number 15 in your Bibles this evening and verse number 21. Mark chapter number 15 in your Bibles this evening. It is good to be back here, and I praise the Lord for this church, and thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach tonight. I was preaching revival over there with Pastor Plogger, and Brother Gip and I, of course, we went golfing on Friday. That's what assistant pastors do, and I didn't know if you know that, but that's what assistant pastors do, and we got together Friday night, and we just were talking, and he said, come on over. So we had a great time, and so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here, and I am really looking forward to this week. And unexpected, but I am excited about it, and I'm looking forward to it. And I think about Vacation Bible School, and I think about the opportunity to impact young people and their lives for eternity, and I think about the reality of the importance of having a godly impact and a godly influence on the next generation. There in 2 Timothy, Paul was writing in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he said to Timothy in that, from a child thou was known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You read there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 5, Paul said, Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I persuade him that it is in thee also. You read there in the book of Samuel, there was a godly mama that influenced his life. You read there about Hannah, how Hannah prayed and sought the face of God, and God gave her a child. You read throughout the Word of God, and there's a mom, and there's a dad, and there's a grandma, and there's a grandpa impacting the next generation for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I think about this week, and I think about the importance of it, making that impact on the next generation. I would encourage you to pray for it, and if you're not involved, I'd encourage you to be out. If you can't make it, spend time praying and asking God to save souls and to change lives. And I promise you, it's a tremendous week for a church. But here in Mark chapter number 15 and verse number 20, the Bible says, and when they had mocked him, talking about Jesus, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country. Notice this, it said the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Alexander and Rufus's dad bore the cross of Christ. Think about that, friend. The rest of Alexander and Rufus's life, they could go around bragging and telling their friends and telling local churches and telling the strangers that they met on the street, hey, guess what my dad did? My dad bore the cross of Christ. He was the one that carried the cross of Christ up to Golgotha's Hill. He was the one that bore the cross of Christ. Can I ask you tonight, sir? Can I ask you tonight, ma'am? Are you bearing the cross of Christ? Understand that the greatest legacy a dad could ever leave for his kids is that he bore the cross of Christ. If there's one thing I want to be able to say, if there's one thing I want my kids to be able to say, when I'm laying dead in the casket, I want Josiah to stand up and say, there's no doubt about it, Steve Swanky bore the cross of Christ. He was one that was faithful to the Lord. He was one that stayed true to the Word of God. He was one that stayed faithful to the preaching of the Word of God. Alexander and Rufus's dad bore the cross of Christ. I wonder tonight, are you bearing the cross of Christ? Let's pray together and then we'll get started. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Convict us, Father. I pray there be Bible decisions made this evening. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. It was 1944. My grandfather, Walter Swanky, joined up with the local New Britain baseball team. At that time, they were called the New Britain Red Sox, a tremendous team, by the way. And my grandfather started to play for the Boston Red Sox, their Double-A baseball team. And my grandfather, as I would sit around my grandfather's house, we'd talk about sports and we'd talk about baseball. It was his favorite subject or his favorite sports. We'd talk about playing in the old days. And my grandfather would tell me stories about 1944, that season. He told me the story about playing baseball with Babe Ruth. He talks about the day when Babe Ruth came from New York City where he was at, and he had a free weekend, and the New Britain Red Sox paid him, I think it was like $10,000 to come up and play for the weekend and be the celebrity star and play for that local baseball team. My grandfather told me about how he was arrogant and how nobody on the team liked playing with him, but they did get their picture together. My grandfather got to play baseball with Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra was the catcher for his baseball team. They're the New Britain Red Sox. Most people don't know that, but Yogi played for the Red Sox before he played for the Yankees. My grandfather would sit around him. He would talk about the privilege he had to play baseball with some of the greatest stars back in the 1940s and the 1950s. And, you know, I thought about that. My grandfather had some wonderful stories about ballplayers, but you know what? The greatest thing my grandfather left me was when he laid in that casket there on October the 17th, and we had that funeral for him. Hey, there was joy and there was excitement and there was gladness in our hearts as we sang the songs of Zion and talked about a man that gave his life to Jesus Christ, as sold out for soul with him, I was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, can I say, dear friend, the greatest thing you can leave your kids, the greatest thing you can leave your grandkids, it's not that you made a bunch of money, not that you had a great position, not that you were influential, not that you were involved in politics, but the greatest thing that you can tell your kids and your grandkids is that you did the job that God called you to, and you bore the cross of Christ. And here was a man by the name He was a man that was willing to bear the cross of Christ. His name was Simon. He was a man that bore the cross of Christ. There Jesus was arrested and he was taken and he was brought before the religious crowd, and they hated him and they mocked him and they scourged him. They plucked out his beard. They put the crown of thorns upon his head. And they laughed him and they scorned him. And boy, they wondered, why in the world would this man waste his life? Yet there Jesus was, set his face as it were a flint to go to Jerusalem. There he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And there Jesus was taken, and he was brought before Pilate, and Pilate came back with that statement, I find no fault in him. He's an innocent man. Why do you want to crucify him? Hey, let me put up Barabbas, the criminal, the murderer, the one that had raised seditions against the Roman government. Hey, why don't you have Barabbas killed instead of Jesus being killed on that cross? And yet the crowd was stirred by the religious leaders, and they began to cry out, we want Jesus crucified. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? Yet they cried out the more earnestly, crucify him. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See it to it. And answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And then they took Jesus away and they led him up that Golgotha road. And understand, as he was making his way up toward Golgotha, there on that cross, the Bible tells us that he stumbled and he fell. And the Bible says that the Roman soldiers took this man by the name of Simon, and they compelled him to bear the cross of Christ. Simon was a man that was returning from Jerusalem. There the Bible says in verse 21 again, they compelled one, Simon of Cyrene, who passed by coming out of the country. Understand, he was a man that was returning from the religious activities there in Jerusalem. He had been to the religious services. He had walked around. He had seen the sacrifices. He had seen there on that Passover day all the lambs that had been slaughtered. He had seen all the sacrifices. He had heard the preaching. He had seen the prayer. He saw all these people gathered there in Jerusalem. He had been to the religious services. But understand, dear friend, tonight, the religious services won't do anybody any good. It won't get into heaven. Religious services it's never got anybody to heaven. It's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he was a man that went to the services. He was a man that was rejected from being in the services because he was not full-blooded Jew. He was a man that did not meet the qualifications to go into the inner temple. And so what was he doing? He was probably standing on the outside. He probably walked in the midst of the outer court. He probably saw where the scrolls were being sold. He may have saw where the temples were overturned when Jesus tried to cleanse the temple. He may have been there for some of Jesus' teaching. But understand, he was a man that was rejected He was a man that was unable to fully worship. He was a man that was returning from Jerusalem, not being able to be fulfilled, not being able to have the joy of the Lord, not being able to have his soul satisfied. Why? Because he was a man that was rejected because the Jewish religion had many strict rules and regulations. And so here is this man by the name of Simon. He is coming out of the city of Jerusalem. He was returning. And what happened? The Bible says there in verse number 21, and they compelled one Simon of Cyrene who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. Not only was he returning, but number two, he suffered the reproach of bearing the cross of Christ. Understand, back in the Bible days, if you bore a cross, understand it was death. Hey, if you were carrying a cross, it symbolized something. It symbolized that you had sinned against the Roman government. It signified that you had committed egregious crime. He was a man that was returning, and here they arrested him. They compelled him to go and carry the cross of Christ there to Golgotha's hill. He was a man that had nothing to do with what was going on, yet they arrested him. And they said, listen, this is what you are going to do. Understand, Simon didn't have any choice in the matter. He simply was commanded, hey, you bear this cross. You bring it there to Golgotha. And what happened? Simon was a man that was willing to bear the cross of Christ. He was willing to suffer the reproach. He was willing to be laughed at. He was willing to be mocked at. Boy, as you made that walk up that road, understand, people were making fun of you. They were calling you all sorts of names and they were laughing at you. Understand, somebody that was going to the cross of Calvary was a marked individual. He was one that people would look at and identify as the one that was going to eventually meet their doom at the end of the day. And there Simon made his way up that cross, up that road. He was willing to be reproached for the cross of Christ. I wonder this evening, dear friend, are you willing to bear the cross of Christ? Are you willing to suffer the reproach? Are you willing to stamp out and stand out and say, I don't care what everybody else thinks. I don't care which way the world says I should go. By the grace of God, I'm willing to identify myself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Understand, we need Christians that are willing to bear the cross of Christ. We don't need Christians to sit back and stay lukewarm in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need Christians that are satisfied to show up for the services and talk about loving Jesus Christ and then go home and leave the backslidden state that they came to church. But no, we need Christians that are willing to bear the cross of Christ, that are willing to suffer the reproach, and are willing to be a marked individual as one that follows Jesus Christ. After all, doesn't Romans 12:1 say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I can present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, as you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, doesn't the Bible say, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Hey, the Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. Hey, understand, God expects you, and God expects me to bear the reproach of Christ. Hey, that means if they're mocking me, if they're laughing at me for taking a stand for Christ, hey, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Hey, understand, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hey, where's the dad that's willing to bear the reproach at work? Where's the mom that's willing to bear the reproach amongst the neighbors and friends and family members? Where's the teenager tonight that's willing to say, I don't care what my friends think. I don't care what the popular crowd thinks. I don't care what's going on in Hollywood and what Hollywood is saying is popular. By the grace of God, I'm going to bear my cross. I'm going to walk with Christ. I'm going to know Christ. I'm going to seek His face. Where's that individual tonight that is willing to count it all the loss for the Lord Jesus Christ? Willing to bear the cross of Christ. He was willing to suffer the reproach. He was arrested. He was willing to suffer the accusations that came his way as a mob would throng around him and call him all different names and accuse him of the different crimes. He was willing to suffer for the reproach of Christ. Why? Because esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the pleasures of sin in Egypt, Moses was willing to forsake that, and he was willing to follow Almighty God. I wonder, where's the individual tonight, like Abraham of old, who was willing to leave his family, who was willing to leave his country, who was willing to leave his place of wealth and his place of business, and was willing to seek for that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God? Where's that individual tonight that's willing to bear the cross of Christ? something about that encounter that day. He bore the cross of Christ. I don't know what had happened. I don't know what had taken place, but understand that individual, this man by the name of Simon, as he was walking up Golgotha's hill, had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, he had a first-hand account with the Lord Jesus Christ. There on that day, he was able to see Jesus as he stumbled along that road going up Golgotha's hill. He was able to see where the back had been ripped and the blood flowed from his back. He was willing to see the beard that was plucked out. He was able to see the crown of thorns. He was able to hear Jesus as he was breathing and going along up that road to die there on that hill. This man by the name of Simon had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it radically transformed his life. Can I ask you, when has your life been radically transformed by the encounter with Jesus Christ? Understand, his life was forever changed on that day when he bore the cross of Christ. I was talking with my wife two or three years ago. I just preached at a youth rally here. And Brother Giffey had a missionary and his wife. They spoke that Saturday morning. They spoke right before I was supposed to preach. And then we were getting on the road and going back to Virginia. I was preaching that Sunday. My wife was sitting in on the girls' session, and my wife and I were talking after we hopped back in the vehicle and we were going back down the road toward Virginia. My wife told me that missionary lady got up. She started to tell the story of her day that she surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. She talked about her brother, and I believe she maybe had a sister who were living in the world and not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they had a great upbringing. Yes, they had godly parents, but sadly they had not made the decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were just talking about the reality of one must make that decision in their life to give their life to Jesus Christ. Understand there's that choice for salvation, but understand there needs to be a day in your life, there needs to be a time in your life when you make the decision to give your all to Jesus Christ and bear His cross. Can I ask you, when did you make that decision? When did you make that? I'll never forget the day I made that decision. When was that? When did you have that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ where you said, I give it all? Like Anan did there in the Old Testament. I give it all. He didn't say, I'm giving part of it. He didn't say, I'm giving 99% of it. No, David needed his field. He needed to offer a sacrifice to God. And Ornan said, listen, David, you can have it all. I give it all. I wonder, when did you encounter God? When did you encounter the Lord Jesus Christ and bear His cross? We see the reproach. We see the returning, but notice lastly the results. As the Bible says there in verse number 21 again, and they compelled one Simon of Cyrene who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. You look over in Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 13. The Apostle Paul is writing that church in Rome. He comes to the end of that book, and he's in chapter 16 is full of a bunch of different names. And there in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 13, it says, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother in mine." Understand, the historians would agree, and they would all agree that this Rufus is the same Rufus that is mentioned there in the book of Mark. You say, preacher, well, how can they pray? Well, you know, they can't prove it. But you know what? They all agree. Hey, this is a man that whose daddy was Simon. He bore the cross of Christ. Understand, the reality is he was a man that was willing to dedicate his life to God. He was a man that was willing to bear the cross of Christ. And the results are, it impacted his children for future generations. Can I ask you? Dad, are you bearing your cross and influencing the next generation? Or are you bearing the cross of the television? Are you bearing the cross of the internet? Are you bearing the cross of making money? Are you bearing the cross of idolatry? Are you bearing the cross of I just want to do my own thing and leave me alone? I'll come to church, but don't ask me to sell out lock, stock, and barrel for Jesus Christ. I wonder, Mom, are you bearing your cross? Are you having an impact upon the next generation? Understand, he was a man by the name of Simon that had that personal encounter with Jesus Christ. His sons were Alexander and Rufus, and the Bible clearly teaches us that he was a man that influenced his son because of that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, when, well, what kind
kind of results, what kind of impact are you going to make on the next generation because you sell out for the Savior? I wonder, what will your kids be doing for Christ because you sold out for the Savior and bore your cross? Understand, we need Christians that are willing to bear the cross of Christ. To ask, are you bearing the cross of Christ tonight? Are you truly doing the will of God and bearing the cross of Christ? Are you counting the cost? Are you like Simon? He didn't have much choice in the matter, but you have a choice. But what does the Bible say? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I wonder, are you going to heed Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I wonder, are you going to bear the cross of Christ tonight? Or are you going to continue to be lukewarm and away from God? Here was a man by the name of Simon. He bore the cross of Christ. What kind of legacy are you going to leave for your children and grandkids? I wonder, when they put you in the casket, they put a bunch of makeup on you, they put your best suit on, sir, or your best dress, ma'am, I wonder, what are they going to say about you? Are they going to talk about the fun times? Are they going to talk about how you walked with God and you bore your cross for the Savior? Understand, if there's one thing this preacher wants to be able to say at the end of my life, is, like Paul, I fought a good fight. I finished my course and I kept the faith. I want my kids to be able to look at Stephen Schwenke as he's laying there in that casket and say, there's no doubt about it, Steve Schwenke bore the cross of Christ. Are you bearing the cross of Christ? Let's pray together. Father, help us to do our job. Lord, it's simple, it's straightforward. You ask us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. I pray tonight, Lord, that there would be decisions made, dads, moms, young people, that would be willing to make the decision to give their life and to bear the cross of Christ. Work, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all